Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Are you caring for an aging parent? Are you searching for answers? Welcome to Senior Care Live, a program dedicated to you, providing information, education, and resources, helping you become the best caregiver you can be. I'm your host, Steve Kuecker.
Hello and welcome to Senior Care Live. Thanks for tuning in today. I really appreciate it. As you may know by now, this program is all about educating our seniors and their caregivers, helping them make very informed decisions. This is a trusted place for you and your family. As always, if you have a question, you can visit online at Senior Care Live, L-I-V-E, seniorcarelive.com, or you could give us a call at 1-800-331-6445. All right. So, first of all, just wanted to say Happy New Year, goodbye 2020, and thank goodness. And if I had another little champagne glass, I would be clinking it right now, saying welcome 2021. You have to be better than last year, and here's hoping and praying that that's true. So anyway, just wanted to say Happy New Year to all of our wonderful listeners here in the Kansas City area, around the country, and frankly, all around the world. All right, so let's jump in and let's get our facts straight.
And now, myth versus fact.
Okay, so here is a myth. Lots of myth busting that we're going to do today. Here's one myth, and I have several of them for you here. But the first one, Medicare will pay for my stay in assisted living or long-term care. That is a myth, and it's so common. So many people believe that. But the fact is, it will not. Medicare is essentially your health insurance, and it's not a long-term care insurance policy. It pays for your health care. So the only stay that it will pay for as far as a long-term care-related stay is when you qualify for a Medicare skilled nursing and rehab stay. And if you're in the hospital for three midnights and you actually need skilled nursing or rehab, then Medicare will pay for a maximum of up to 100 days for you to receive, again, that skilled nursing and rehab in a long-term care community. And yes, that would be covered by your Medicare benefits. However, most people do not receive that full 100 days. That's a maximum type of a scenario. I suppose if you're very slowly recovering from a stroke, or maybe you have Parkinson's or some other situation that would cause that recovery to be very, very slow, you could get that 100 days. Most people, though, get better. They reach their therapy goals or they plateau and they receive maybe 3 to 4 weeks on average of skilled nursing and rehab therapy. And then they're discharged from that Medicare skilled nursing and rehab state. That's it. That's all your Medicare insurance will pay for. It will not pay for your long-term stay in a long-term care community, and it will definitely not pay for assisted living. All right, here's another myth. Once I'm admitted to the hospital, I automatically qualify for a stay in long-term care. And I would say the fact is that is not totally true. So you must be in the hospital, again, for a minimum of 3 overnights, plus actually need therapy or could benefit from therapy. And then there's another major potential issue. You must be there, and this one's really sneaky, and you need to check in on it if you have a loved one in the hospital. You need to be there with a status of inpatient, so inpatient status. If you discover that you or your loved one is in the hospital and your status is for observation, that is potentially very problematic. An inpatient status would automatically trigger that Medicare reimbursed stay. But if you are in the hospital under an observation status, meaning they're just observing you, they're not necessarily treating you for a particular issue or diagnosis, then that observation status would not automatically trigger that Medicare reimbursed stay for skilled nursing and rehab. Clear as mud? Okay, here we go. Here I'm myth busting today. I'm rolling through a bunch of them today. All right, so another myth, Medicaid will pay for my stay in assisted living. So and everyone thinks that, oh, well, we'll just go to assisted living. We'll have Medicaid pay for that. So the fact, and I touched on this last week towards the end of the program, the fact is, no, it will not. Medicaid's not going to pay for your stay at the assisted living level of care. However, and I didn't get into all of this type of detail last week, so let's break it down a little bit. There are a few exceptions to this. So as I mentioned last week, Medicaid will pay all day, every day for long-term care, that nursing home level of care. And you want to know why? Because that is considered a medical model of care. And Medicaid will pay for that, again, all day, all night, every day. It, you know, assuming that you qualify, there are qualifications to that. But it does not pay enough for assisted living. And it doesn't pay enough because most assisted living facilities are not going to work with it, because it will only pay for your support services, your assistance with eating and mobility and bathing and toileting and making your food and cleaning your apartment and all of those sort of things. But it doesn't pay for the cost of your apartment. So the assisted living facilities, I don't want to get too far in the weeds, but the assisted living facilities then have to break that down into a room and board charge, the cost of your apartment, and then separate out the cost for those support services. And even though Medicaid will pay them for the support services, usually not enough, but they'll pay for that, who's going to pay for the big old cost of that apartment? And that is why very few assisted living facilities will even consider working with the Medicaid program. Now, there are a few that will work with the Medicaid program. They are on the Kansas side of the state line, but there's a catch. You have to be able to privately pay, right? So you have to have the assets and the capability of paying somewhere between 12 and 24 months of private pay while you're spending down to that trigger qualifying for your Medicaid. And then they will work with the Medicaid program. But even then, it still may not be enough. There may be a family contribution, which means that we may be short anywhere from $200 a month to maybe $1,000-$1,500 a month, which in that case, the family would have to come up, pool some resources to make that work. So there are lots of gotchas there, but the fact is that Medicaid just does not pay enough for the assisted living level of care, but there are a few exceptions and a couple of workarounds there, potentially. Okay, here's another myth. My assisted living facility also offers memory care, so that's the same as long-term care, meaning I won't have to move once I move in, and they can meet my needs for my entire stay through end of life. That's what a lot of people think, but it's just the fact is it's just not true. It may not be true. Okay, so if an assisted living facility also offers memory care, what that means is that they offer specialized care, specialized type of care for a resident with cognitive impairment at the assisted living level of care. So they need help with their activities of daily living. This is absolutely not the same thing as long-term care. They are licensed to provide the assisted living level of care, and they're not licensed to provide the long-term care level of care. So the bottom line there, if an assisted living community also offers memory care, that memory care is offered, again, at that assisted living level of care, not at that medical level of care, that higher level. So that one is really, really confusing. Here's another myth. My assisted living facility is an age-in-place community, and they can take care of me through end of life. So the fact is, it may be true, but according to a major study that I like, 59% of all assisted living residents must move to that higher level of care, the long-term care level of care, because their needs exceed what the assisted living community can offer. And then there's one more. My long-term care insurance policy pays for home care, so my home care company can bill my long-term care insurance policy, and I'm set. Okay, so that's not true. The vast majority of long-term care insurance policies reimburse you once you have spent money to create an expense. So meaning you'll get an invoice for this last month's services, and then you submit that invoice to your long-term care company for reimbursement. And there's no guarantee that long-term care insurance company will work with your home care company. Many times they have a list of contracted companies that you have to use. So that one gets tricky, but the fact is that was just not true. And that's a fact.
For more information about the facts, stay tuned to this program or contact Senior Care Consulting at 913-945-2800 or visit seniorcareconsulting.com.
All right, the Senior Care Live question of the week. If you're hospitalized, what would qualify you for a skilled nursing and rehab stay? A, a stay of at least 3 midnights. B, an inpatient stay. C, the clinical need for skilled nursing or rehab therapy. Or D, all of the above. The answer coming up next.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, call now, toll free, 1-800-331-6445. Operators are standing by, 1-800-331-6445. I'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, go to seniorcarelive.com. And don't forget, you can stream this program to any electronic device at seniorcarelive.com or through the app radio.com. All right, so this one's a test to see how well you were listening in the first segment. That kind of reminds me of being in school. Now, we'll see how well you were listening, and we're going to, right? So, I didn't plan on that, but that's just kind of how it worked out. So, if you were hospitalized, what would qualify you for a skilled nursing and rehab stay? A, a stay of at least 3 midnights. B, an inpatient stay. C, the clinical need for skilled nursing or rehab. Or D, all of the above? And the answer is... D. The answer is D, all of the above.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention please. This is a consumer alert. Consumer alert.
All right, so I want to get into this consumer alert because, oh my goodness, I've been speaking with so many families who are, they're confused, they're hearing mixed messages, and they're, frankly, they're getting the runaround a little bit at sometimes, not, and this is not a blanket statement. It sounds like I'm kind of beating up on assisted living today. I am absolutely not. I'm a huge, huge fan of the assisted living level of care. It has its place. It has a very wide lane in that continuum of care, and it has a lot to offer, and there's a lot to like about it, but it has its issues and its limitations that I'm going to unpack for you today. And the reason that I'm going through all of this is not to throw assisted living under the bus, so to speak. I am educating you. I'm informing the listeners of what to be aware of. And then that way, if you use this information, it will help you be a better consumer, help you make more informed decisions. And that's what this program is all about, providing information, education, and resources for seniors and their caregivers, and this is right down the middle. So I don't want calls saying, but why do you hate assisted living? No, I don't. I do not. I'm just going through an educational process here. So the consumer alert, we're talking about assisted living. You just need to understand exactly what assisted living is, what they offer, and when they could discharge you. So I'm just seeing a lot of people very upset because their loved one is being discharged from their assisted living community. So we need to understand that assisted living is a social model. It is not, and I should say that like 10 times, it is not a medical model. It's a social model, and they can help you minimally or fully with your activities of daily living, such as your bathing or showering, getting dressed and undressed, your grooming needs. They can help you use the toilet. So they'll help you with in the restroom to and from. And they can help to an extent with incontinence care or incontinence support to an extent. And they're all different as far as how far they will go in that incontinence management and support. They also distribute your medications for you. That's super important. They all do that. So that's a wonderful service that is offered. They prepare all of your meals, snacks, hydration. They have a full activities calendar. They offer transportation to and from doctor's appointments, doctor's offices. And they most of them even have doctors and other medical services that come to you in your assisted living community. So they essentially make house calls, which is especially when the weather is crummy, like this last week, that's super, super nice and convenient. But you must realize that assisted living as a category or a level of care, it's not, here's the problem, it's not a standardized model. And this is why so many people have called me at Senior Care Consulting. Well, I just went out and checked out, you know, several, you know, five or six different assisted living facilities, and they're all telling me something different. Well, there's a good reason for that. It's not a standardized model. So if you look at long-term care, that nursing home level of care, that is a medical model, and it is very, very standardized. So they all can offer about the same thing. Now, clearly, some of them deliver much better than others. But as far as the standardized model, it's about the same. Assisted living, it's all over the board. It is not standardized at all. So they have this wide range of care and support that they can offer. They can offer minimal care that's just like kind of warmed up independent living, right? And maybe not much more than that, okay? All the way up to care that approaches that nursing home or that medical model, that long-term care level. And, oh, by the way, anything and everything in between. It's just literally all over the board. And then some have that separate or designated memory care unit or memory care neighborhood. It's a part of the building that offers specialized care for a resident with cognitive issues, such as Alzheimer's or dementia. And it could be a lot of other reasons, but they have that separate area for memory care. And many do not. In fact, I would say there are way more assisted living communities that do not have that separate memory care neighborhood, but quite a few of them do. So, major problem. Pretty much every single assisted living community will say, and it's almost a quote, well, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, we are an aging-in-place community, so your loved one can stay here for the rest of their entire life. It's almost a quote. In fact, if you've done any assisted living shopping, you've probably heard that or something very, very similar. We're an age-in-place community. You can stay here forever, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm not throwing assisted living under the bus, but I'm informing and educating you. It's certainly their goal to have you stay with them for your entire lifetime. And guess what? You may be able to do that. I mean, seriously, you definitely may be able to move in to the assisted living level of care, get the care and support that you need. And then if you come into an end of life situation, I mean, they can bring in, hospice services and offer some extra support at a higher level of care within their range. And you may be able to do that. However, that statement of we're an age in place community and you can live here for life, many times that statement falls into that terrible category of overpromise and under deliver. And the reason I know that is because I get the phone calls and I get a lot of these phone calls, tons of them, with Senior Care Consulting saying, hey, we chose a place, we thought we had it right, clearly we didn't, so we need some professional help to help us find the right place and the best fit. It happens all the time. Now, according to a national study, again, I mentioned it earlier, 59% of all assisted living residents will have to discharge and increase their care to that long-term care level of care. Now, they certainly, again, they want to care for their residents for life, but many times they cannot.
Proceed with caution. This has been a Consumer Alert brought to you by Senior Care Live.
All right, that wraps up our Consumer Alert. I'm going to have a whole lot more on this coming up next.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, call now, toll free, 1-800-331-6445. Operators are standing by, 1-800-331-6445. I'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, visit seniorcarelive.com. And don't forget to check out our podcast. We have every recent episode of the program, again, at seniorcarelive.com. Lots of people who are not able to listen to the program live, definitely go to the podcast. I mean, there are tons of people listening to that after the fact. Although, I would love for you to join me each and every week right here on Talk 980 AM. How about that? But if you can't do that, podcast is there for you so that you can catch up and not miss a single thing. All right. So again, here we are at the bottom of the hour. Happy New Year. I hope that you are able to have wonderful Christmas, holiday weekend with your loved ones. And then, of course, New Year's Eve and celebrating, New Year's ball drops. And in Nashville, they have a music note that drops instead of a crystal ball. It's a note. It's pretty cool. They didn't have that when I lived there. I would have gone to that in a second. That looks really fun. But and of course, this year, everything's different and messed up because of this terrible COVID-19 stuff. But I think we're going to make our way out of the woods here pretty quick. So I'm a glass half full kind of guy, always have been, always will be. And I think we're going to be able to get back to a whole lot more of a normal life sometime this year. And then the further away we get from 2020, the more normal it'll be. So anyway, again, Happy New Year to you and your family. All right, so we're talking about assisted living today, and again, I'm not throwing assisted living under the bus. I'm just saying there are a lot of gotchas, a lot of things that you need to understand. And I was talking about, you know, one of the issues that is present, and the reason I know it's present is because I get lots and lots of phone calls about this thing. So I want to talk about, I'm going to provide you a list of common needs or issues that can trigger a 30-day discharge notice from assisted living. So you moved in, or you moved in your loved one, everything was going fine, and all of a sudden you get this the certified letter that you have to sign for saying, we can no longer meet your needs, you need to move your loved one by such and such a date, a 30-day discharge. Here's one. Number, and I'll just go through, and this isn't in any particular order, but number one, if you become weakened to the point of becoming a two-person transfer, okay, which means that you are no longer able to assist one staff person to help you move from point A to point B, you are weakened to the point where you're almost kind of dead weight. It takes two staff people to move you, maybe from your bed to your toilet to your wheelchair, et cetera, et cetera. I am working literally right now with the gentleman whose mother lives in a particular assisted living community. It's a great place. They have provided a very high level of care for her for a very long time. In fact, when I found out her needs, I was really surprised that she was living in an assisted living community. I mean, they really stretched out for her. They really went over and above and beyond. However, the second she became a two-person transfer, that was it. That was their line in the sand, if you will. That was their threshold that she exceeded. My client was not very happy about that, but he understood it. I've had a lot of clients call up, and they were not happy about it, and they did not understand it. They felt that they were blindsided, frankly. That was not this particular case with this particular gentleman I'm working with. He didn't like it, but he understood it. And he thought a two-person transfer is just, you know, two staff people. Generally, when you get to a two-person transfer, now you're going to introduce mechanical lifts. So like a Hoyer lift, which is a mechanical lift that can safely move a person from point A to point B. There may be a sit-to-stand machine that helps. It's another mechanical lift. So usually you're going to get into lifts, and that at that point, most assisted living communities, not all of them, but most of them just don't do that. That's exceeding their limitations. So for the folks who were caught off guard with that notice, you know, most of the time, what it comes down to is you didn't ask the right questions and they didn't tell you about their limitations, just as simple as that. And again, that's why so many people are flooding to senior care consulting, because we don't let our clients make that mistake, period. We don't allow that to happen, because we know what we're doing. We know what we're looking for. We know what they can and cannot do. And we just don't let our clients make a mistake like that. All right. Another reason that you could get a 30-day discharge notice is if you just require too much care. And the staffing model at the assisted living level has its limitations. At most of the assisted living communities, there is a particular threshold. It all has to do with staffing. And if you need more care than that staffing model can accommodate, then you're out. You're going to be asked to move your loved one. So another pretty common reason incontinence care is becoming more and more necessary, or the incontinence situation is becoming more and more of an issue. Most places can at least minimally assist you with your incontinence care and incontinence support. Actually, there are a few places that won't even help with incontinence care at all. If you have an incontinence issue and you can manage it, they're fine with that because you're taking care of it. If you have an incontinence situation where you cannot manage it and they need to help you, you know, in and out of your briefs and get cleaned up and that sort of thing, at that point, with you know, a lot of these places, they can help, again, to a point, but if it becomes too much for them and their staffing, you will be asked to move. That's another really common one. If you need a low air loss mattress to prevent wound issues or skin breakdown, if you're in your bed that much, you're probably not a good assisted living candidate to begin with. And at that point, you'd be asked to move out of the assisted living level and up to the long-term care level. Number five, if your loved one needs medical care, such as wound care, or say if they had lymphedema, you know, swelling issues, and they needed the compression wraps, or maybe requires, again, that mechanical lift, or if they need tube feeding or IV therapy, again, all of those things would fall into that medical category, perfectly appropriate for long-term care, but not really appropriate for the assisted living level of care. Remember, assisted living is a social model that helps you minimally or fully with those activities of daily living. So some of this medical care and these medical issues are just not appropriate for the assisted living level of care. And you may move in to assisted living and be doing fine. Then all of a sudden you have the swelling issue and you need, you know, compression wraps and lymphedema pumps to keep that swelling down, and there is a point where they're just not going to be able to do that very long, or maybe not at all. Another issue that could get you a discharge notice, if your loved one requires pain management that is more than they can handle. So, you know, most people have an oral regimen. They're taking, you know, Tylenol, or they may be taking something a lot stronger than that, but it's an oral medication, and they can deal with that. But once you start getting into requiring, you know, pain patches, pain injections, you know, managing an implanted pain pump, all of that stuff, again, falls into that higher level of care, into that medical category. All right, number seven, this one's really common. It could be as simple as needing diabetic management with insulin injections. So now let me say this. If you're diabetic and you can move into an assisted living community, and if you can manage your diabetic needs and you can use your glucometer or one of these new cool ones where you just wave your iPhone over the little device that's kind of implanted on your arm. It gives you this continuous readout. That's a really cool invention, by the way. Or are you doing the finger sticks and you're doing the, you know, blood glucometer, and you can give yourself your own insulin injections and manage all of that and prove, you have to prove it, prove that you can do that independently. Yes, you can move into an assisted living community. However, most assisted living communities cannot or do not offer around-the-clock diabetic management. And again, that is a function of staffing. So let's say, well, you know, I do pretty well, you know, during the daytime, but, you know, at the nighttime, you know, once in a while I might wake up and I need to do all of that. I'm not very good at night. So can you guys just take care of my nighttime diabetic needs? And usually the answer is you have to do it all or you can't live here. Usually. Now, there are a few exceptions to that. And this is where you get the inconsistency. There are some assisted living communities that can help with that diabetic management, including injections. They're staffed to do that even overnight, and that may not be an issue for you, but for the vast majority of assisted living communities, could be an issue. And you move in and you can manage that on your own. But at some point, if you need help with that, that could trigger a discharge. I'm going to continue this list with much more information. You don't want to miss it. Don't go away.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, call now, toll free, 1-800-331-6445. Operators are standing by, 1-800-331-6445. I'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, visit seniorcarelive.com. All right, so I'm going through a long list of issues or needs that could trigger a discharge from assisted living. Let's keep that rolling. At number eight, the next one, if you need help eating food or if you're needing a specialized diet, such as a pureed diet or maybe another specialized diet, that could trigger that discharge letter, 30-day discharge, saying we can no longer meet your needs. And again, as I've emphasized before, I don't want to get in trouble with my friends in assisted living. This is not throwing assisted living under the bus. I am educating our listeners on all of the things that they need to understand that may or may not be fully explained when they are exploring that level of care. All right. So for all assisted living communities, all of them care for a number of residents in their community with cognitive impairment. I've touched on this before. If you contact one, they may say, oh yeah, we offer memory care. We have lots and lots of residents here with memory issues. And that's true. But they'll tell you that even if they don't have that separated memory care neighborhood. And again, all of them care for cognitively impaired residents. However, when the memory issues exceed their limits, you will be asked to move. So here's an example. Your loved one moved in. They're doing well. They have, mild dementia. They're getting along just fine. And everything's going well. And it could be for a long time. Then there's that little bit of a decline, and your loved one now wanders. They wander about. They're walking in and out of everyone's apartment. They may walk out of the building and go outside and put themselves unintentionally in harm's way, especially in the wintertime. That's very dangerous because of the temperature. And now they're considered what's called an elopement risk. Now, most assisted living facilities have a wander guard system that can help with this. It's a little transmitter on a kind of a little watch bracelet. It sets off an alarm if the resident gets too close to that exit door. And it can be a great tool to prevent your loved one from leaving the building, again, unattended and putting themselves unintentionally in harm's way. However, if your loved one is setting that alarm off, several times per day, and it's just becoming too much, it's exceeding their ability to care for, manage, and handle properly, you're going to get that discharge notice. Here's another one. If the assisted living facility has a memory care neighborhood, your loved one can be transferred to that area of the building, and that'll take care of the issue. So that's how you can take care of this. Just move into a place that has that memory care neighborhood. But if you don't, again, that's going to cause a problem in a probable discharge. This one is pretty obvious. If you run out of money, you're going to get discharged, period. And again, I touched on this earlier in the program. Most assisted living facilities are private pay only. And even if you've lived there for years and years and years, and I've had clients in this exact situation, the second you ran out of money, you will be discharged because there's no way for you to pay their cost. And at that point, I worked with a lady, I've shared the story before, and her grandmother spent about $350,000 for care for a long time in a particular assisted living facility. And then she got the 30-day discharge notice. And bottom line, your grandma's out of money. You have to move her. We don't work with Medicaid. So you have to understand your budget and what your dollars will pay for and how long They will pay for that. Another one, this will get you a quick discharge if your loved one is falling too much. So there are just too many falls, and they just don't have enough staff to keep an eye on your loved one, to maybe to put fall interventions in place to help your loved one from falling. And so at that point, they'll either discharge you, or they may ask you to sign a what's called a negotiated risk agreement, saying you release us from liability if your loved one falls. That's the super short version of that. In the super short advice, don't sign it, right? Don't sign it. Do not sign that. You just let them off the hook. So if your loved one's falling too much and the assisted living community cannot manage that that need, that situation, then it's time to move them, okay? Don't sign a negotiated risk agreement, period. Don't do it. Okay, and then if your loved one has any negative, what's called behaviors, they're going to be discharged. So it could be too much wandering or wandering in and out of residents, other residents' rooms or apartments. It could be exit seeking, like I'm out of here, I'm going home. It could be foul language or inappropriate language or inappropriate, you know, actions with the opposite sex. That'll get you out in a heartbeat. It could be inappropriate sexual advances. Unfortunately, you hear about that a lot, usually related to cognitive issues. It's not the person, it's the disease, but it is an issue. You just can't have that. It could be aggressive or combative behavior, you know, psychotic issues, seeing things that aren't there, talking to people who are not there. Most assisted living communities are just not they're just not able to address those needs. They might be able to address some of those needs in a memory care unit or memory care neighborhood, but even then, again, at that assisted living level, it could be too much and you may get a discharge notice. So what can you do to help extend and maximize your stay at a particular assisted living community? Well, number one, ask the right questions about their limitations. Don't just gloss over that. Ask for concrete examples of when they would discharge a resident. Understand what you're getting into and how much care they actually provide, and ask the question, you know, what is the maximum care? What if my loved one needs more care than that? What happens? You have to ask the right questions. And again, that's why so many people are working with Senior Care Consulting, because we know the right questions to ask. We will not allow you to make a mistake. Number two, if your loved one has memory-related issues, make sure you choose a place that provides memory care, offering a separate memory care neighborhood if that increased care is needed down the road. Again, if they don't have that separate memory care neighborhood, highly likely at some point that you may get that discharge. Number three, choose an assisted living community that is connected to long-term care. So if your loved one needs that medical level, that higher level of care, they can easily transition, you know, down the hall or maybe, you know, across the way to the long-term care level of care. They have that continuum, and therefore your loved one would not be discharged. They would just transition to that higher level of care that's sitting right there and available to you. And I guess last but not least, I would say just understand the finances of it all. Don't make any assumptions. Understand it all. Do the math and calculate how long your loved one can afford to pay with their own funds, their own resources, paying privately. Then ask yourself this question. Are you willing to move them again one more time at the time that they run out of money? If the answer is no, most people, now once in a while we'll say, let's maximize what we have today. We'll worry about that later. But most people don't want to do that. Then again, choose a place that's connected to long-term care that is also Medicaid certified. And then that way they will not have to move and they are covered for life. All right. Again, Happy New Year. I'm looking so forward to a wonderful 2021, and we're just getting started, and we're going to be up and away. It's going to be a great year. I have a feeling it's going to be so much better than last year, Amen. All right. I'm your host, Steve Kuecker, and I wish you grace and peace. May God bless you and your family on this day and always. Join me next week, right here, for Senior Care Live.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now, I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.